actually need to start in verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. Come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him in the way, and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. For and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing that in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and saith thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, over in Luke, let's read this version, because I'm going to quote from both of them. Starting in verse 43. Luke 8, verse 43. And a woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Our Lord Jesus went about doing good. Everywhere he went, he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, Acts said. But he asked a question when he was on his way to Jairus' daughter's house. Now, in this chapter alone, chapter 8 of Luke and chapter 5 of Mark, he's done cast out a legion of devils. He asked a man who was possessed with the devil, so what's your name? He said, Legion, because we are many. Though to cast him into a herd of swine, a herd of pigs. And then Jairus came to him and says, My little daughter, my little girl, she's lying sick at the point of death. But if you'll come and just lay your hands on her, says she'll just be whole like that. Well, our Lord started toward Jairus' house, following Jairus in the way. And while he was going, a great big crowd just started following him and pushing him. Strong with a great big crowd. I mean, they just pressing him all the time. And he's on the way to Jairus' house, and our Lord is going with him. And on the way, a woman touches him. And he said in Mark, he said, Luke, she said, Somebody hath touched me. Who touched me? And he said, Somebody has. He didn't make any difference. He said, Somebody's touched me. And our Lord knows when somebody touches him in a way that salvation comes from him. And this woman was, when she touched the Lord Jesus, she was changed just like that. And I tell you what, he heals and virtue flows out of him, healing virtue to this poor, sickless, helpless woman. And imagine now how this encouraged Jairus while he's on his way to the house. If he'd done that for this woman, and all she'd done was just reach out and touch him, oh my, well, I don't have any worries about my daughter. Everything's going to be well, But I want to know, and that's what he done. He gave Jairus a handful on purpose as he's going here. And so listen, let me tell you some things about this woman. And I tell you, this is the condition. You know that I say this at the outset. She's got a blood disease, and only the blood of Christ can heal the blood disease. It takes blood to heal blood. But look at her disease in verse 25. And a certain woman had an issue of blood, which she had had for 12 years. In another place, and it says, you know, that she had spent all that she had on her living. You know, she had this awful, awful issue of blood. And she had spent all of her living. But she had an issue of blood. And under the law, her life is slowly ebbing away. You see, the life of the flesh is in the blood. And all they can do is take your blood and they can tell so much about you. And because of this issue of blood, when you go to the law, and under the law, when a woman had an issue of blood like this, every place she sat had to be clean. Nobody could touch her. When she sat down somewhere in public, it had to be clean. She was an unclean woman according to the law. The law couldn't have just pronounced her unclean and could not cleanse her. And not only that, but she was weak because of this condition. So weak because of this condition. She had no ability to do anything for herself. That's how weak she became. Well, you know, she had lost blood for 12 years. And life was slowly ebbing out of her. She's weak because of this condition. She's unclean. The law itself and the Levitical priesthood, everybody says she's unclean. God said she's unclean. And not only that, but she's miserable. She is absolutely miserable. And I tell you what, if I could find somebody, and that's the effect of sin. That's the effect of sin. This woman's in the condition she is. That's the way sin is. We got a disease that we inherited from my father Adam. And that disease affects our nature. You know, everything, you know, we pass on from one generation to the next, our disease. And Adam, he was... had this awful disease when he rebelled against God called sin. And sin affects the mind, it affects the will, it affects the understanding, it affects our thoughts, it affects our actions, it affects everything we do. And we do what we do because we are what we are. Why does a person rebel against God? Because he's born a rebel. Why does a person sin against God? They're born in sin. Why does anybody regard sin as nothing? Because they don't know how deceitful it is. Why do people just laugh at sin and make a mock at sin and ridicule people who talk about sin? It's because the effects of sin is so blinded them that they don't have a clue how awful sin is. And this effects of sin, and I tell you, the effects of sin is horrible. The effects of sin is awful. It'll make people justify themselves of everything that they could possibly do that's wrong. And this woman, her blood issue and everything about her is the effects of sin. She's weak because of sin. She has a blood disease because of sin. She's unclean because of sin. And I tell you what, there's no remedy, no external remedy. The wisdom of men at its best has never yet found a remedy for this thing called sin. And she has had this sin that's been working on her and deceiving her and bringing her to the end of herself. She's been dying of this disease for 12 years because of the disease of the blood. And oh, look, now I want you to see this over in Luke 8:43. You know, keep both these places if you can. It said here that this woman had this issue of blood. 12 years, and look what she done. She spent all of her living upon physicians and couldn't be healed of any of them. Oh, she tried to save herself. She tried. She looked at her record. She done an incredible. She spent all that she had. She spent everything that she had. She knew she had an awful disease. And she was willing to go down to her last penny, to her last dime, to try to find somebody that could heal her, somebody that could do something for her. She wanted to get well. She went to doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor. She went to this physician, that physician. The doctor said, for $100, I believe I can cure you. And another one come over to her and says, well, you know, I know this natural remedy that'll work just right. And I tell you what, I'll send you to this specialist over here, and that specialist will take care of it. And see, she was lost. She had lost all pretense of being good enough to heal herself. Well, she said, I'll do the best I can. I'll start praying. I'll start attending church. She lost all pretense of being good enough to save herself and heal her of her issue of blood. She had lost all sense of self-justification. Oh, I'm going to get better. I'm going to get better. I'm going to get better. You just wait and see. I'm going to get better. She could no longer sham herself or sham anybody else. No kind of scheming anymore. She is earnest enough. Oh, how earnest she was. But her problem was, is like everybody else, she went to the wrong source. If you ever went to the wrong source to get something done and they couldn't get it done for you, call the wrong people. Well, you called the wrong people. You went the wrong place. She is earnest enough. She went to the wrong source. You see, her cure couldn't be purchased. You can't, you know, her cure couldn't, you couldn't buy it with money. And I tell you what, beloved, there ain't no way in the world a man can purchase his salvation. He can't do it. And look what it says she couldn't be healed. She spent all of her living. All of her living. Wow. And then look, you know, it said, and it says she suffered many things of many physicians. That's what it said over in Luke. She suffered many things of many physicians. Let me tell you some of the doctors she went to. She went to lots and lots of doctors. Old Job, you know, he had 3 physicians who come visit him. And he said, after it's all said and done, said, you're all physicians of no value. Let me tell you some doctors that she went to that didn't do her any good. Old Dr. Sadducee, he's a fellow that doesn't believe in the resurrection. He doesn't believe in the resurrection at all. He believes it's the only life that he is. And that's what he told her when she went there. She said, well, honey, listen. Enjoy yourself. You only live once. Don't be so serious. You're only going to live once. To forget it, you know, just don't be so serious. Then she went to old Dr. Legality. And he started telling her, now, this is what you need to do. You need to start praying. You need to start living right. You need to quit all these bad habits you've got. And his son, Civility, told her, says, you know, you need to start being very, very moral and very civil and act, carry yourself in a wonderful way. And, oh, listen, the old Dr. Legality, he said, now, listen, if you'll start dressing a certain way, and if you'll quit wearing makeup and quit wearing them earrings and quit watching television, and if you'll quit smoking, and if you'll quit this sin and that sin and that other sin, so you'll be healed just like that. And then here come old Dr. Ceremony. She went to Dr. Ceremony. He said, listen, I know what just exactly what you need. I got some water here. I'll pour this water over your head. And that'll take you to get to see. I'll pour this water over your head. And that'll really fix you up. Huh? And I tell you what. You come to me. You just keep coming to me. You burn a few candles. Get on your knees and start crawling through the church. You start calling on the different saints. You start prostrating yourself, and you start flagellating yourself and beating yourself and tormenting yourself. He said, then, you know, you go through these ceremonies and you'll be all right. Let me give you this wafer. Let me give you this wine. And then there's old Dr. Orthodoxy. He's a five-point Calvinist. Oh, he's a five-point Calvinist. He believed in tulip. He didn't believe in daisies. He believed in tulip. He believed man's totally depraved, but he didn't know nothing about sin. He believed unconditional election, but he didn't know nothing about why you had to be unconditionally elected. He believed in limited atonement. He believed in irresistible grace and the perseverance of the saints, but he didn't have a clue what took place in the garden. He couldn't tell you how God could be just and justify the ungodly. He couldn't tell you. He couldn't tell you how desperately wicked man was. He just said, "I know they're totally depraved." A fellow told me the other day about a man done an awful, awful, awful deed. He said, he was one depraved individual. And I said, "We're all that way." The only reason why me and you or anybody else don't commit some of the awfulest crimes and all the deeds that you can imagine is because of the restraining grace of God. Don't never think for a minute that you wouldn't do anything that anybody else hasn't done, and the only reason you haven't is because God has restrained you. You wouldn't commit murder? Let God put you in the right place at the right time. You wouldn't commit adultery? Let David. David said, "I won't either," until he looked on Bathsheba. You wouldn't lie? Let God put you in the right position. I'm telling you what, there ain't a thing in the world we wouldn't do if a God don't restrain us and keep us. But I tell you what, as long as we believe the right thing, and then there's old Dr. Preparation. Let me tell you about him. You know what he says? You need to make yourself fit for Christ. You're not fit to come to Christ. You need to make yourself better. You need to make yourself better. Christ can't take you the way you are. You got to clean up your life. You got to quit some of your sins. You got to prepare yourself for grace. You got to prepare yourself for salvation. You remember the old hymn writer said this? He said, "Oh, come ye sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love and power. Come ye sinners, weak and wounded by the fall. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him." That's all the fitness he requires. And the reason why these people couldn't heal her disease is because they didn't understand the disease. They did not, one of them understood what her problem was. And it says that she was nothing bettered, but got worse. That's what happened. Nothing bettered, but she rather grew worse. That's what happens. You know, whenever somebody starts trying to do it their way, "Well, I know how to do it, preacher. I know what I need to do to be saved. I know what I need to do to get right with God. I know what I need to do." Well, she knew what she needed to do, but she didn't get any better. She just got worse and worse and worse. It's like that fella. You know, the devil's left him. And his house was swept, clean, and garnished. Oh, listen, that's what happens. You know, they join the church and they look real good and they dress themselves up, they garnish themselves, they get them some crosses, they get them a Bible and they go to praying and they garnish themselves up. And everybody says, "Boy, they've really cleaned their life up. They've really turned over a new leaf. They've really done good." And all of a sudden, that seven devils went back in there. And the man was worse than he was at the start. And I tell you, let me tell you something. Don't go anywhere to do anything to better yourself because you can't do it. Now, you can better yourself in this life. You can get you an education, better yourself here. You can better yourself in your situations. But you can't better yourself before God. Even us as believers. Does any of you think you can make yourself better right now? Huh? Can you make yourself more acceptable to God than you are right now? No, she was nothing bettered, but rather good rose. She's now without hope. Worse than ever before, because now she's penniless. No doctors are going to have her now because she ain't got no money. Her physicians were of no value. And then old Dr. False Peace comes along and he says, "Oh, honey, listen. Listen, you're okay. You're really okay. You're really all right. I tell you, I've done told you that you're healed. All you've got to do is just claim it. I've told you that I've healed you. Just claim it." And then old Dr. Goodenough, he said, "Honey, you're good enough. Don't you worry about it. You're as good as anybody else." Well, when ain't nobody no good, that don't mean nothing. When it says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none good, no, not one. Where does that leave everybody? And oh, listen, there's old Dr. Do-Better. And then Dr. joined the church. Let's join the church. I'm going to join the church. And they couldn't help either because they didn't know the source of her disease. And look what she said over here in Mark chapter 5, verse 28. I hope you still got this. Look at her faith. Look at her faith. Verse 28. "For she said, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be healed." Just touch his clothes. Look what it says in verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus. See, she had heard of the Master. And you know, I tell you something. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Men got to know something about Christ before they can trust Him. People got to know something about the Lord Jesus Christ and His power and His grace and His mercy before they'll ever trust Him. You know, Isaiah says this, "All thy children shall be taught of God." God taught this woman that that's the only place I can go. God taught this woman some things. He taught her some things about Christ. Taught her that the Lord Jesus Christ had all the power to heal. The Lord Jesus Christ in Himself had virtue. The Lord Jesus Christ in Himself could do something for her. Her faith was so simple, and yet it was so great. She's poor. We done showed you that she's poor. She has nothing to give. She can't come up to the offering box and drop something in. She expects no medicine from Him. She said, "If I can go to Him, maybe He can give me something that will help me." No, no. She believes this, that all I got to do is touch His garment. Touch His clothes. That's all I got to do is just touch His clothes. And if I can touch His clothes, it will bring instant salvation just that quick. Huh? Oh, when she saw the Lord Jesus Christ and heard of Him and His power, she seen right then and there that her source and the center of her helplessness was in that one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, she said, "If I can just touch His garment, just touch His garment." And now I want you to look back over at Luke again. I tell you what, I'm going to have you going back and forth. Now look at the results of this touch. The results of this touch. And oh, beloved, and Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, and Peter says, "Master, the throng presses against you," and you say, "Who touched me?" And our Lord said, "Somebody touched me." Are you somebody? You're somebody. It don't say, "Well, I'm glad it didn't say, Don touched me. Because there could have been a whole bunch of Dons that touched him and I didn't. But it just said somebody. Huh? For I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. Now watch what happens. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down, but declared unto her people. You see, she straightway felt in her body that the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body. And that's what she said over in Mark. She said in verse 29, you don't have to look at it again, the straightway when she touched him, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. How can you tell if your faith is real? How can you tell if your faith is real? Huh? I tell you, her faith reached out and touched the Lord Jesus Christ. And real faith always, always goes to the same source. In fact, it has nowhere else to go. You know when you'll trust Christ? When you have absolutely no place else to go. When she run out of money, when she run out of doctors, when she had lost all hope in herself and all hope in everybody around her, when she didn't have no place else to go, that's when she went to Christ. And you know nobody will ever come to Christ till they absolutely have no place else to go. As long as they can go to even to themselves. As long as they can go to themselves and look at themselves and say, I just don't see myself being that bad. I just don't see myself being that much of a sinner. I just don't see myself. I don't see why this preacher and the Bible makes so much about sin and salvation and makes so much about disease and about Christ. I don't see it. I don't understand it. Well, I'll tell you what, if you get like this woman, and there ain't no way in the world that you can get healed of this awful disease called sin, and you ever find out you got it, you know what you'll do? You'll go to Christ just like a marten goes to its gourd. You ain't got no help. And then it says that her cure was sudden. It says straightway, immediately. Immediately, our Lord answers the cry of faith and trust when she pressed through there. And her cure was complete. The Scripture says her blood was dried up just like that. Dried up just like that. And she felt it in her body. You see, his remedy goes to the root of the disease. It says she is made perfectly whole. Perfectly whole. Completely whole. Absolutely whole. And I'll tell you something else about her disease. She consciously enjoyed it too. She felt in her body. She enjoyed this cure. She enjoyed this salvation. She enjoyed what God had done for her. Her cure was consciously enjoyed. She felt. And I tell you what, she couldn't feel better till she was better. You can't feel better about yourself till Christ makes you better. And oh, beloved, many was touching him, but only one touched him by faith. Only one. All the people that was touching him. Only one touched him out of need. And that's why I said, who touched me? Who touched me? And oh, but let me show you this back over in Luke 40, chapter 6, 8 again. Let's look at this. And then you know, when the Lord asked who touched me, why did the Lord ask who touched me? He said, virtue's gone out of me. Healing virtue's gone out of me. Why did the Lord ask who touched me? Don't you know that he knew who it was that touched him? He looked behind and told the woman. In one place told her. You know, our Lord asked questions, not for information, but to bring something out of you. He asked Adam, where art thou? God knew where he was. He wanted Adam to know where he was. And he asked this woman, so this woman would confess publicly what Christ had done for her. He asked her this question, who touched me? And that wasn't because he didn't know. He wanted the one who touched him to come forth and own up to him. The question was asked to bring her to acknowledge our Lord's power and grace and blessing to her. Look what happens in verse 47. Over in Luke, it says she was not hid. Well, she is hid to everybody but the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, not hid. Now, she's standing in a crowd of people. Great crowd around him. Remember this? Great crowd around him. And then she stood out just like she was the only one in the crowd. That's the way it is. You know, this thing about all this crowd around him, but only one person was healed. And she wasn't hid. Well, everybody around her didn't have a clue who she was and what she did. But our Lord Jesus Christ did. And when she was not hid, look what happens now. She came trembling and falling down before him. Oh, my. She came to worship. She came to fall down before him. And look what she said. Oh, I love this. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. That's what we call a testimony. She's going to tell, she told him and everybody around him, you know why I touched you? Because I had this horrible disease. I had this issue of blood for 12 years. I spent everything that I had. I was poor, I was helpless, I was penniless, I didn't have no place else to go, and I heard about you. I heard about your power, I heard about your grace, I heard about the blood, I heard about you. And I said, if you can raise the dead, surely you can heal me of my disease. And she told him and everybody that listened, and then she said how she was healed immediately. She said, you know, just as quick as I touched you, and I want everybody here to know it, just as quick as I tell you what I was, how sick I was, how desperate that condition I was, but as soon as I touched him, I was healed immediately. She told everybody that was there that would listen. And I tell you what, she believed with the heart, now she has to confess with her mouth. And oh my, if you ever believe with your heart, you'll confess with your mouth too. If you ever touch Christ, you'll have to tell somebody. And look what our Lord, the assurance that our Lord gave her in verse 48. Here of Luke chapter 8. And he said unto her, daughter, oh my daughter, you're my daughter. Be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Oh my. What a word from the Lord Jesus Christ. I've heard that word before. Be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. You're healed. Your disease is gone. I'm the remedy. Sin's gone. And oh, beloved, what a comforting word from the Lord Jesus Christ. She was saved by faith. She said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, that's faith. I've got to go to him. Real true faith always says, I've got to go to him. Faith always looks outside itself to somebody else. She didn't look to herself and says, well, I'm going to try to touch him. I hope I can. But no. Faith says, I've got to touch him. I ain't got no place else to go. And ain't that what we do today, even and now today? Do you not go to him in faith? Do you not look to him in faith? Do you not always go outside yourself and look to him? And all beloved, and she is saved by faith, but he gave her assurance by his word. You know, if she had gone away without this comforting word, without this promise from the Lord Jesus Christ, she might have lived in fear of this terrible disease coming back and returning any time. Now she not only feels well, She felt well. She feels the disease is gone. It is gone. And now she has her Lord's word for it, that she's been made whole. She says, oh, your faith has made you whole now. She's been, and it's called a plague, been made whole of this plague. And I tell you, if God has done something for you, and you know, shouldn't the scripture say she came and told him all the truth, declared before him and all the people why she came, what had happened. And that's what people don't want to do. They don't want to admit why I need to come to Christ. Why do you need to come to Christ? Do you need to come to Christ? Well, tell him the truth now about yourself. Truth about yourself. Confess what he's done for you. If he's done something for your mind, gave you peace of mind, took away the darkness from your mind, illuminated your mind, if he's done something for your heart, gave you peace of heart, took away the sin from your heart, the condemnation and guilt from your heart, if he's purged your conscience and take away the guilt from your conscience, well then, tell it. Tell it. Tell it publicly, tell it privately. And do like this woman. Enjoy what Christ has done for you. Enjoy what he's done. She enjoyed what Christ done for her. She felt it like that. Oh, I'll tell you what, I bet that woman was so happy that day. She's still poor, but she's healed. Still penniless, but she is made whole. That's all that matters, getting to Christ. Our Father, in the blessed name of Christ our Lord, I bless you for your great, great mercies today. Ask for the word to be made profitable, effectual. Lord, only you can make it alive, make it real, make it vital. Only you can do in a sinner's heart what needs to be done. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you'd put it in someone's heart to press through, to come to Christ, be made whole of their disease. Be made whole from their sin. For their guilt is gone. Their faith is great comfort from Christ. God grant it for his sake, I pray. Amen. Amen.